Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the process and spiritual unfolding, which is called apotheosis. In this show, we will discuss the preparatory work involved in giving up personal sense or my will to accept an impersonal spiritual sense of selfhood or thy will. Listen as we explain some of the pitfalls in mistaking error for truth or the impermanent for the permanent. Finding that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and demonstrate spiritual law. Swami, the topic of today's show is preparation for spiritual consciousness. And I'm wondering if maybe what you could do is just explain to us what it is to be spiritual.
Well, to be spiritual is to assume spiritual identity. And you can't have a personal sense of I and be spiritual at the same time, which is, I think, a common mistake that a lot of us make. We think that I, as a personal, corporeal, finite being, am spiritual. That's where I think this concept of preparatory work is really important, that we must even know what being spiritual really is. And to assume an identity that transcends sensual perception, to move from what is visible and tangible, to move from what is invisible but tangible, and to move into what is invisible and intangible, which has been referred to as the void or the nothing, is really what being spiritual is all about.
Well, then if we put the word consciousness with the word spiritual, what does that look like?
Well, for me, that would look like that you are conscious of divine presence, which most of us, I think, are conscious of the testimony of our senses. We're conscious of our ability to form thoughts and opinions. But for the most part, to be conscious of divine presence means that you must have spiritual sense, that you must have a sensitivity and awareness for what is invisible and intangible.
If I want to have a spiritual or have spiritual consciousness, that means that I would be aware of the divine presence all day, every day, say 24/7.
Well, I think that would be ideal. And that, I think, is the goal that we are trying to achieve so that we can walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. But I think that's what we're talking about, is this preparation. That even, say, for example, in Revelations, there are these seven seals that must be broken, so that it's not really something that happens like all at once, even though it's really nothing that's happening other than a revelation. It's not the changing. We don't change matter to spirit. That spirit is all. We just change how we are perceiving what is before us. So most of us are stopping at the testimony of our senses, and we are accepting that as for what we call real. And as a result of that, we react to the testimony of our senses, and we accept mortality. But if we want to go beyond this limited sense of self, we want to go beyond this false sense of existence, then we have to pierce through the testimony of our senses, which means that we have to develop ourselves.
So we have to go a lot deeper than just thinking about divine presence or even understanding what divine presence is. We actually have to physically do some preparatory work.
Right. And we have to make our mind an avenue of awareness for this divine presence. And just like we said in the opening, finding that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea is what we really want to come to.
Well, let's get started by the preparatory work part. So can we talk a little bit about what it is in yoga?
Well, in Kriya Yoga, of course, we have 8 stages that we work with, which to me could be very similar to what St. John is saying in Revelations. And our first stage of yoga are the yamas, the abstentions. And in the practice of these abstentions, we're starting to fill human thought with spiritual ideas, which I think really helps us make our thoughts a little bit more buoyant, because most of us are accustomed to thinking with our 5 senses and reacting to the instincts and the appetites of our physical appearance, which is something that we have to control. And so yama means control. And then when you get into niyama, your first niyama is purification. And purification as preparatory work for making human consciousness a hospitable environment for divine presence. And what's important here is just what is required to recognize the immortal self everywhere. Because we must purge the entire false sense of self. The personal sense level of existence must go. And in the Bible, it says to put off the old man.
And so what does that mean, to put off the old man?
Well, now for me, that means that I have to give up this personal sense of self. I have to give up my belief that I am a finite mortal creature.
And when you're talking about purification before, it's not just so that we cleanse the body, so to speak, but we're actually cleansing the mind as well.
Right. And we're also cleansing ourselves conceptually. We must purify ourselves of all of our false beliefs and human theories and concepts that create an interference pattern with divine mind, with the divine idea, which is the only truth of being.
Now, is it true that when you are working with purification, that it will help you change how you think? So, in other words, you won't be craving the candy bar. You'll be craving spirit instead. Isn't that like the ultimate goal of purification?
Well, exactly. You want to create what in the Bible was called a new covenant. But you also have to be very careful here, because a lot of what we are doing with, like what you said, just working with diet, a lot of times we are still working with human beliefs about food. And we're trying to eliminate what we will call unnecessary dependencies and eliminate the foods that are producing cravings and disturbances. But if that's as far as you go, then you haven't gone far enough, because you really want to purge yourself of all the unnecessary dependencies. But at the same time, you must replace it with divine presence. That spirit must be the only thing that you rely on.
And so how do you recommend that we do that on a daily basis, say?
Well, the way that I found it most helpful was the easiest way to get out from underneath any unnecessary dependency is to substitute. But the secret of substitution was to substitute your necessary for your unnecessary. I have mentioned this before, that even, say, for example, if you substitute air for alcohol, or you substitute air for cigarettes, you're still working with matter. You're still sowing to the flesh. And you're still a human thinking about being spiritual. Now, we must substitute divine presence. We must substitute prana for whatever it is that we want. So even, say, for example, if you've gone as far as breath, you still have to take another step. You want to substitute divine presence for your next breath. And what that will do is it will take you completely out of physical identity, identifying with the body, which has needs and has an expiration date and has instincts and appetites and all of that, so that now you can put on the garment of spiritual identity, which has no needs, is eternal, unchanging, and it is the expression of an indestructible principle.
Well, I know you've been saying for years those three little words is put God first. It sounds like that's what you're saying here.
Well, exactly, but I was saying it before. And saying it doesn't go far enough. You must be able to demonstrate it. And the only way that you can demonstrate it is to find that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea, where you're thinking with God as God and not a human thinking about God.
So in some of my research for the program this morning, I came across something, and the author was saying, before you eat a morsel, before you even take a drink, before you even go outside of your house, you must thank God for whatever it is that you're about to do. You know, even saying, thank you, Father, thou art always with me. Is that kind of like what you're saying? Is that like a really good beginning block for us?
Well, I think, again, that's good preparatory work. But if you are still a human that is expressing gratitude for divine presence, it's not the same as accepting spiritual identity.
How would we know the difference?
Well, I like what the Bible says by the fruits, that if you are in spiritual identity, then your life should have the ring of the true metal, that your life should be magical, it should be harmonious, it should be peaceful and well.
Is that why some days seem to run really smooth and, like you said, very harmonious, and some days are just like wrought with struggle?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the coming out of the old modes of thinking.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead
lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, in the summary, we had said that we were going to explain some of the pitfalls in mistaking error for truth or the impermanent for the permanent. And so I'm just wondering if we could just take a moment and just, let's just explain what is meant by impermanent and what is meant by permanent.
Yeah, we're making a distinction between the finite and the infinite, or the finite and the eternal. Things that are of substance, things that are spiritual, are eternal. They're unchanging, as opposed to the things that are visible and tangible or invisible but tangible, which are impermanent. They are subject to change.
So the permanent would be what we're talking about is the spiritual nature, the divine presence.
Right. The divine idea of whatever it is.
All right. So let's explain some of the pitfalls in mistaking error for truth.
Well, I think a lot of us sometimes we think we're being spiritual. And yet at the same time, we're dealing with conditions, abnormal conditions, adverse conditions. And we think that we're separate from this divine presence. And so that becomes a false sense of existence.
So if you were to have somebody come to you and you're having a conversation with them, what would be your first clue that they were in this false sense of existence?
Well, if I thought that you were in a false sense of existence, I would be in violation of spiritual law. Because whatever it is that is appearing before me is what I'm holding in my consciousness. So it wouldn't be something like you can be spiritual and everybody else is mortal. And I really like what Herb Fitch says in Revelations to St. John in class 4:1. To live in your immortal self, you must recognize the immortal self everywhere in everyone. And this kind of really brings us to what we've been calling the physics of spirituality, that like attracts like. If you are in spiritual identity, then you see the spirit within, but at the same time, you see the spirit everywhere. But if you are still in a personal sense of self, and you have identity that's bound up in mortality, then of course that's what you see. What surrounds you is within you.
So if you happen to be confronted by another person who may be angry with you or, let's just say, not harmonious, so what does that bring up on screen for you?
Well, I think the first order of business is that you have to make sure that you're not reacting to it. That if you are detached and objective enough and to see the error and you rebuke the error and at the same time identify with the divine presence that is before you as this person, condition. That's a good way, I think, to disarm what might be possibly about to happen.
So just by my having a judgment on somebody, like if I say, oh my God, this person's really angry, I'm labeling this person, I'm making a judgment on them. So therefore, I am in error because I'm not recognizing them for their true self.
Right. And the more that we are accustomed to doing that, and that's what we've been talking about, is forsaking the testimony of our senses, piercing through the appearance and abiding in the truth, the changeless state of being, the divine presence, and not the mortal creature that is appearing before you.
So in the summer, we also say that finding that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea. Now, the word idea there, is that also synonymous with the word thought?
Well, it is synonymous, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to make a distinction between our ability on a personal level to form thoughts and opinions and how this divine mind works. Because we, on a five-sense level, we are working in the rational and the finite, whereas divine mind works in the absolute, which is whole, complete, and it is beyond time and space. It is beyond the belief in two powers. It is just this one unified state that is absolute life, absolute goodness, eternal love.
Well, I just had another thought. So going back to what I was saying, like if I witness somebody who I label as being angry or something like that, would that be the same thing as if, so say I recognize a pain in my back, is that also an error on my part? Just like looking at an angry person and labeling them as being angry.
Right. And depending on how much power you give it, the simple fact that I have a pain in my back and you accept it, that's what starts to create the belief in it, which actually empowers the condition. Whereas if you rebuke it and say, well, it's not possible to have a pain because I am the reflection of an indestructible principle. I am the reflection of the perfection of being. And divine presence doesn't have a pain and it can have a pain. Therefore, the eye of my being cannot be in pain. And if there is pain, then I know that I have a belief in something other than the allness, the omnipresence of the divine.
So you're saying we would have to train ourselves not to have this belief in these physical conditions.
Right. And this may sound strange, but don't succumb to the belief in pain or injury or sickness. And it's taken me time to understand that all problems are man-made and rely solely on belief for their existence. Beyond the testimony of the five human senses is divine truth, and it alone is real. It's the only thing that is self-existent. It's the only thing that has principle or power. These false conditions are only our thought about what is real. If we give up the belief in problems, the truth will reveal itself as perfect health, as absolute harmony, peace, love, happiness.
I can see where there could be some struggle with that with some people, because I think at the end of the day, whether we want to believe it or not, we like these conditions because they do things for us.
Yeah, and just like what you're saying, I think a lot of us don't really, A, we don't know how to give up this personal sense of self, and the other is that that's all we know. whether we realize it or not, that this false sense of existence relies on belief for its existence. The minute we start to realize the truth of our being, that I'm an eternal spiritual being, I don't have fear, I don't have needs, I don't have wants, then I'm starting to give up this personal sense, and by me creating this avenue of awareness for the presence of this truth of being, the perfection of being, with my silence and with my stillness, I invite it into my consciousness, then that will spiritualize my thought. By translating everything back into this one divine presence, it will fall into its perfect state of absolute harmony.
When we talk about all this preparation, we're not just talking about the discipline, sacrifice, practice. I mean, from my martial art background, those, at least two of those three words were something that we always talked about, discipline and practice. So we're talking something much more deeper than that.
Right. And the uninitiated may think that it is all the discipline, sacrifice, and practice that gets the reward. But this is the old theology. It's the old way of thinking. Truth doesn't work like that at all. For example, just like in life, more opportunities may be granted by who is known rather than what is known. And spiritual truth is demonstrated by thy will and not my will. And the Bible tells us to know the truth and it will make us free. And what I found is that it's easier than I ever imagined, but you have to think differently and give up all human thinking, trying, believing, struggling, and let divine mind guide you from within. Because all sickness, suffering, and disease are all human beliefs in something other than divine presence. The hard part for me was to come out of the three modes of mortal human thought and knowing divine mind, because it required coming out of Gemini, the lower mind, instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. It required coming out of Virgo, the mid-mind, human intelligence. And it required coming out of Sagittarius, the higher mind, the collective consciousness, and getting into Pisces, the divine mind, the one mind that is backed by divine law. Because divine science is a demonstrable principle. And healing isn't guesswork, it's an exact science.
I think what you were saying earlier about giving up all human thinking, trying, believing, struggling, because all my life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but we're brought up that, well, hard work will get you everything that you need. Hard work and practice and being disciplined is what we need to do. So now you're saying, well, we shouldn't be trying. We don't need to struggle anymore. So this could be something that could be challenging for a lot of us.
Right, but you also want to be in compliance with Scripture, which tells you to live by grace. Jesus said it is the Father within that does the work. And so by letting go of our human personal sense and attuning ourselves to this truth of being, we then unlock the power of divine presence.
Well, I think this is a good place to start ending our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And again, once you're there on the homepage, three quarters of the way down, you'll see a section entitled Swami Says Recent Posts. And you'll see shows listed there you can click on to further your spiritual developments. Don't forget, Swami has a free webinar Wednesdays at noon. You can access that on the online classes tab. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I certainly would like to encourage everybody to prepare themselves with silence and stillness and invite divine presence into their consciousness so that it can start to demonstrate itself in your experiences. And with that, namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.